Hey, thanks for downloading this podcast. If you want to listen live, be sure to download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Football is back on this Thursday night. It is Fantasy Sports Today. We'll have a preview of the Jaguars-Titans game, a Week 4 college football preview, and plenty more as Fantasy Sports Today starts now.
Fantasy Sports Today.
And welcome in. This is Fantasy Sports Today for this September the 19th, 2019, week 3, believe it or not, of the NFL season is here. We're already cruising toward the bye weeks in football, believe it or not. Joe Pizzapia, Craig Mish with you here on the show. Sean Guastamacchia producing this program as we get ready for week 4 of the college football season. Johnny Lobb is going to be with us in a little bit, the Gridiron Scholar, to break down some DFS and some college football matchups. And then, of course, Joe, we have the dreaded Thursday night football game in the NFL, and the annual Jaguars-Titans clash will be on display tonight. And dare I say, there will be a handful of fantasy ramifications in this one, too. Good afternoon.
Yes, it is the most Thursday of any Thursday game you could possibly get. I mean, really, they should just play this game over and over again on a replay every Thursday night. I feel like this is it. This is what Thursday night football is. It's the Jaguars at home against the Titans with Marcus Mariota and Gardner Minshew. And why are we all watching it? Why? Because of fantasy. That's why we're watching it. Let's be honest. If, you know, there's not a ton of Jacksonville Jaguars fans, there's not a ton of Titans fans. Okay, let's be frank here in terms of fan bases. The reason why anyone cares at all about this game is two things: wagering, and the other thing is fantasy football. If you got guys going in this game, you give a crap. And I love this. Your comment of dare me to watch this game, Craig Mish. I love that. That made me laugh and chuckle inside my heart. I really enjoyed that. And I do dare you to watch. I'm going to watch it. I'm going to be miserable probably. This game is either going to be 10-9 or it's going to be like 44-41. It's going to be one of these two like outcomes where you just can't believe what it is and you're just throwing your hands up in the air and saying, what the hell?
Yeah, I don't think that this will be a game that I'll watch. I'll probably end up skipping this one, even though there will be some wagering and some player interest in this one, but I'll you know, check out a few minutes of it. I'm more interested actually in the college football game with Houston and Tulane, and it kind of brings up the subject, Joe, and people ask this question all the time, is if Thursday night is so bad, why not give them an extra day to play on Friday night? Because that subject has come up quite a bit, but high school football is so big all around the country that pro football respects high school so much that they're not going to play on Friday night. That's basically the reason why they won't do it and give the players an extra day. Now, Joe, I will say this. It would not be the worst thing in the world for me, and I don't think that it would take away of all the allure of college football if they decided to play games on Saturday night in the NFL. Like, that to me would be more of a viable solution, but then, of course, you come back to the same thing, especially for the Pac-12 teams on the West Coast. That would kind of remove a lot of the interest for them because then people would tune into the NFL. So what the NFL is trying to do is not conflict with high school, not conflict with college, give college their day on Saturday, give high school their day on Friday. And that's kind of what we're left with at this point. So for the time being, I don't see anything changing.
I just want two Monday night games instead. That's what I want. I want the two Monday nights. I'm already in football mode. We're already committed in our brains, in our DNA structure as football fans, to want Monday night football. And Sunday night football basically has surpassed it as the primetime game. We all can agree on that. I think that's where we're at. Sunday night football is that game that everybody's watched, everybody's tuned into. I love the opening Monday night doubleheader. I think it's great. People complain, well, what are you going to do about the East Coast people? Well, you know, it starts too late there. Or what about the West Coast people? Well, the other game starts too early. Nobody seemed to complain on opening week. What's the big freaking deal? Can't we just have two Monday night games and scrap this Thursday one? The players hate it. The coaches hate it. I'm sure the travel secretary people hate it because of the turnaround. The equipment people hate it. Everyone hates it except the stupid NFL who just makes money off it because they can ISO another game. And that just makes me mad. But whatever, Craig, whatever. No one cares about my rage anymore.
No, we care. That's not.
I don't know. I don't feel like anyone.
I think the suggestion is good. I think the suggestion is good, except for the argument is you start a Monday night game at 7. No one on the West Coast is watching at 4 o'clock Eastern, Joe. This is a fact. They are not. And then 10 o'clock West Coast game is a 7 o'clock Eastern game. No one is watching the end of the West Coast game, too.
When they play these games in London, is anybody watching those on the West Coast either when the game start at 9 a.m. here?
No, but they have Joe, they have the docket of all the other games that day. That's the difference. They have.
The other games on Sunday. What I'm saying is if they did it regionally where they had, you know, like this New England Jets game was a Monday night 7 o'clock game. That's great because it's got a lot of heat in that Northeast corridor area and the ratings are going to be great no matter what. It's a national game. We have a big organization, big rivalries, organization, stuff like that. That's the kind of stuff that flies. And then on the West Coast side too, when you put Denver and Oakland together, when you put people together who have, you know, played each other and they have that division rivalry and there's some history there. I don't know, man. The Thursday night game, I care about the quality of the games because I think we all do. If we really love football, we care a little bit about the quality of the games and the quality of play. It's just not very good. It wasn't good out of the gate again week one. It certainly wasn't good week two. And I don't think it's going to be good tonight. Again, this game has 10-9 for me written all over it, which means it'll be 44-41.
Yeah, this is just one of those where it's so unpredictable. And in general, the home teams have fared very well, as we mentioned on the show yesterday, in terms of betting 11-5 and 1 last year against the spread for the home teams. So just keep that in mind when you're looking at Tennessee and Jacksonville tonight, if you decide to get down on that game. With all of the injuries, Joe, around the league, it certainly looks like at this point that Cam Newton is going to miss the game. He didn't practice yesterday. There are no plans for him to be on the field today. So Kyle Allen indeed gets the start. Now, Joe, if you recap our conversation yesterday, I did throw that $1 bid last night in for Kyle Allen. And I am waking up this morning, a Kyle Allen owner. So there is my super flex option.
That's what you are. You are survive in advance. You are the Jimmy V of the Guillotine League. That's what you are. You just get it one game at a time until you win the whole damn thing. Oh, I'm super excited, man. I'm more excited about the stupid league than you are.
I know this is the worst. So and it's not even. It's only like 100 in. Even it's so stupid. So who would you play, Josh Gordon as a super flex, or would you play Kyle Allen?
Oh, man.
I have Antonio Brown, too.
What's the score? Is it 6 points touchdown or 4?
I think it's 4.
Oh, man. And I'm sorry, you have Antonio Brown already, right?
Yeah.
I'll tell you what.
Here's my thinking on this. Okay. If I play both Antonio Brown and Josh Gordon, I almost guarantee myself of staying alive, right? If one of those guys blow up, I'm going to get it. But conversely, if New England just somehow has a game script where, and look, we don't know, and last week Tom Brady ended up getting his even with the bad game script, right? Because he ran one in at the end and he threw two. Mm-hmm. But that's my fear a little bit is that New England is not a team ever that takes their foot off the pedal, though.
They're not a team that takes their foot off the pedal. And the other thing that I would say also in favor of Allen is, you know, the matchup here is very good for them. I still think they're going to lose this football game in Arizona, but the Arizona Cardinal defense is not very good. I think we can all agree on that. Like, they're not impressive. There's no Peterson there still. So, I mean, I think the floor is pretty good. I think this is one of those things where you look at the roster construction, and I'm big on this because I think whenever someone asks me a question like this on Twitter in a vacuum, and I'm like, okay, well, what's the format? Is it full PPR? Is it half? I hate when people ask that and don't give me more information. But on top of that, too, what's the rest of the roster? Are we talking like we've got two big time running backs, and you're just like, you know, building?
Well, I have the best receivers now in the league because of after picking up Antonio Brown, Brown Hopkins, and Michael Thomas.
Yeah, and then who are your running backs in this league?
I got nothing. I got Gurley and...
Gurley's not nothing.
Yeah, it's not great. And then Jackson on the Chargers, but I'll probably start Mostert. I'll start Mostert.
I think I might be pushing... See, my worry is a Josh Gordon goose egg. Allen, I don't think he's going to get you a goose egg.
What if he blows up? I got a great pick.
I think you got to go the quarterback there with those running backs because I think the higher floor, you want to just lock in that floor. I think your dart throw is Mostert. I think if you have too many dart throws, Mostert and Gordon... I think you're walking the line a little bit.
Yeah. Well, would have had Singletary had he played this week, but it doesn't look good for him. Speaking of not looking good, but is anyone playing for the Eagles this week, Joe? Like, what's the deal?
No.
They didn't practice at all yesterday?
Nope.
I've never heard that in the NFL. It's like a team not taking BP in baseball at 3 o'clock? Like, what's the deal here? They didn't even practice.
So that's a really good analogy, actually. That was very good. I think that this is kind of the reason why Carson Wentz was barely in my 12 yesterday when we ranked the quarterbacks. And then we're going to rank some running backs later on today and re-rank everybody. But you know, this is kind of where I'm at with the Eagles. I don't like the O-line. I hate Doug Peterson's commitment or lack thereof to the run. Alshon Jeffery's hurt every single year, which is why I never own him because I just can't stand to own him. It's just so infuriating. And look, maybe Aguilar and Arcega Whiteside, or maybe that's exactly what this team needs, a little bit of a, you know, injection there with the young kids and see what happens. But I don't know, man. I think the Eagles are in serious trouble, and I think the Cowboys are setting up to have a big lead on them, you know, once we turn the page into November, and I think they're going to be looking up in those standings. They really do.
All right, well, we're off and running here on this Thursday edition of the show. We're going to take a quick time out on Fantasy Sports Today. We got the opening drive up next. It's Craig Mish and Joe Pisapia. Don't go away.
Were you scammed into signing a timeshare contract? And did you miss the part that said you have to pay for your great idea? Not only for the rest of your life, but when you're not here anymore, you get to pass this turkey onto your family for them to pay for the rest of their lives. Thanks, Dad. Don't burden your family down the road, and don't be stuck with expensive timeshare payments forever. Get out of your bad idea timeshare contract guaranteed or pay nothing. Call Resort Release today and learn for free how their timeshare exit team can help you legally exit your timeshare contract. They've helped thousands of people, and they're A-plus rated with a BBB. So if you feel scammed, get mad, and get out of your expensive timeshare contract right now, guaranteed. Call N-O-W.
800-804-7060. 800-804-7060. 800-804-7060. That's 800-804-7060.
What's your IRS problem? Do you owe back taxes? Is there a lien placed on your property? Have your bank accounts been frozen or seized? Have your wages been garnished? Are you being audited by the IRS? Are they sending you letters that demand actions and have urgent due dates? Well, solving your tax problems is as easy as calling Taxes 321. The IRS is the largest collection agency in the world. You need the best representation to give you peace of mind. You need experienced professionals that can cut through the red tape and stop the collection process. If you have a serious problem with the IRS, call the Taxes 321 Network today. We'll get them off your back.
800-961-3631. 800-961-3631. 800-961-3631. 800-961-3631.
Then he pivots, fakes, chucks the big bomb halfway down the field to our hopefully still wide open tailback. I call it
Fantasy Sports Today with Craig Mish and Joe Pisapia. Fantasy Sports Today presents
first play from scrimmage.
The opening drive.
The first play of the game.
From the opening play and all the way for a touchdown.
All right, welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. It is the opening drive here on this Thursday. We got Thursday Night Football, college football. We got Johnny Lobb coming up here in a little bit. Give us a preview of the weekend, but let's get things started here on the show with First Down, and we start off with a story that came out of nowhere yesterday, and I've seen some retweets on it this morning too, was that the running back for the Indianapolis Colts, Marlon Mack, oh, there's this crazy discrepancy. Was he wearing a walking boot? Was he holding a walking boot? Who really knows? I know Mack did not have a great game last week, but he is a surefire RB1 right now, and teams that have him probably don't have a lot of depth to start somebody else because you probably drafted him as your RB2, but this is scary, man. We need Marlon Mack to play this week.
Well, he's expected to play. There's been absolutely no reason why he hasn't been expected to play. It's a calf issue, and those can be very tricky. So I think the smart thing to do with the calf, from everything that I've seen over the years, is just rest. Like, they're gonna rest him. They're going to give him those treatments. They're going to do all that kind of stuff. And my guess is he'll be fine. You're going to roll him out in your lineups. If this worm should turn on Friday, then you should be concerned. And if so, I mean, it might be a situation where you might end up just kind of plucking Wilkins off, you know, and hope that he's the early down back, which he probably will be, and see if you can get some points out of him. But I mean, everything right now, there's nothing that says he's not going to play. I understand your concern, but it's the football season, so everyone's concerned. And Wednesday's the day where most guys get off anyway. Like, if you're going to rest guys like the Eagles, Wednesday is kind of that day to do it, where you just kind of give everybody a day off and then you come back at it on Thursday, Friday with game plan stuff. But yeah, it's concern. Yes. Panic. No, I think that's my meter with this one.
Yep. We'll find out for sure by Friday, no doubt. But Mack looked so good in week one. For his owner.
He's a good back. He was a good back in college, too. You know, it's funny because then that running back class, that was the same running back class as Dalvin Cook. Mixon was in that class, too. Who am I forgetting? It was Mack, Mixon, who else was in that group? There was like another run. There was another guy. And of all the footage when, you know, because I didn't at the time get to watch a lot of college football, I would go and watch the highlight reels and watch, you know, as much, which is great because you could do that on YouTube and pick out all these things and then kind of do evaluations of guys. And I thought Mack was super impressive. And everything I read was, Well, the big knock on him is a little inconsistent and he fumbles the football. So with the fumbling the football issues kind of away, you know, to me, Mac was a guy that you should be very bullish on. And I had tons of shares of him last year, hoping that things worked out. And I think that right now you're going to see the Colts basically live or die with Marlon Mack the rest of the year.
Yeah, I remember I think he took over for Trent Richardson, if I'm not mistaken, when he was there a couple years
you
ago.
You would know better than I.
All right, second down. Could this be Darwin Thompson's week? I know that it's been a wild ride for people who took him in early drafts, and then he slid a little bit, of course, because the Chiefs decided to sign LeSean McCoy, but McCoy seems to be on track to play, maybe a little bit iffy. But Damian Williams is questionable for the game. Boy, I am certainly glad I didn't cut this guy in the leagues that I have him. But the question is he a startable flex player, Joe? And what situation would you start him in come Sunday?
Well, this is where stubbornness pays off, right? Where you just refuse to let go of a certain guy because you just don't believe in the guys ahead of him. And I don't. And that's why I still have Darwin Thompson everywhere. And I think what you're looking at this week is already we've had a lot of attrition at the running back position and God knows the quarterback position, so flexes and super flex and things like that are, you know, certainly getting weird out there. Even wide receiver, we had a fair amount of injuries too. Mm-hmm. So Darwin Thompson to me is a guy that in your 16, 15, 14 team league, you are starting as a flex this week. I think he's viable enough there.
Both guys have to be, or one of them at least has to be out though, right? You're not gonna
I don't think so. Not with this game, not in Kansas City. No, I think there's enough there where you could, again, I'm talking about 14, 15, 16 teams deep. Yeah. Those leagues,
I would have to disagree. I mean, if both guys are healthy and active, Joe, there's just no way I would.
I'm telling you, I mean, I don't know. Like I said, you know, everyone plays different depth of leagues. I've got 12s. I've got, you know, a bunch of 14s.
No,
I've got
16.
When you get that deep, Craig, there's not a lot of great matchups out there. And I'm looking at just scoring. And the Chiefs offense scores. And I think that there's opportunity there enough for him with where we're at. Like, I'm talking about right now. This could change by Friday when we get to more of an update on LeSean McCoy. But as of right now, I would be ready to start him as a flex. I think in a 12-team league, I think it's still too muddy to put him as a flex spot or anything like that. And I think you'd have to have had massive issues to put him in there. And if you have had massive issues and he's the best, let's say you're a Marlon Mack owner, right? And Marlon Mack is not going to play all of a sudden this week if things go south there. Okay, well, you know, you fire up Darwin Thompson, you hope for the best. I think that's kind of what you would do. And I think that the Chiefs can have enough touchdown upside in that offense that as long as he can score, he's going to return value that week. And that's all you need out of that flex spot. You need a touchdown. That's what you should be looking for most of the time anyway. And I'm going to keep faith that at some point in time, he gets enough opportunity where he starts to show out and maybe, just maybe, he works himself into a more permanent role in this offense in some way. So we'll see what happens. This could be the start of it. Who knows? Let's see.
Yeah, if one of those guys is out and this guy plays, imagine him rolling off like 150 yards and a touchdown. How amazing that would be. Mm-hmm. For Darwin Thompson owners, all of a sudden it would be a new season. This guy could be the number one running back.
Imagine Damian Williams owners then.
Yeah, this would not surprise me at all if that ended up happening.
No.
All right, third down. Garrett Cole of the Houston Astros last night, Joe, did something in fantasy that we, look, every fantasy league, I think Garrett Cole is going to grade out as a top five player. 300 strikeouts on the season, Joe. This is a guy that it's going to be hard for him to repeat because I don't think he'll be back in Houston next year. But what a great season he's had. It's worth acknowledging today.
Incredible season. And I am a big Garrett Cole fan. The minute he got out of Pittsburgh, I remember I wrote a big piece about this, which is the best thing that could happen to Garrett Cole is the same thing that happened to Max Scherzer when he went to Detroit, which was, hey, you don't have to be the guy. Just go figure it out. And you got a ton of talent. And it's ironic because the guy that supported him in that rotation was the same guy. It was Justin Verlander. Verlander being the guy at the top. And all of a sudden, this other kid who had all these expectations to be a true number one and all these things, be the ace of the staff and carry the staff and all this blah, blah, blah nonsense. We take a little bit of pressure off a guy like that. Only good things can happen. And we saw what Scherzer, when he became, and now we're seeing it yet again. And it's ironic that the guy in both of those rotations that took that pressure off was Verlander. And they've done a terrific job over there, you know, with between the analyzing of spin rates and all the extra work that they do there with those pitchers. It really is spectacular. And Cole's going to cash in, and he should. And Cole, to me, was the best ROI on the board coming into the season for pitchers. A lot of people disagreed with that. A lot of people still liked the sales of the world and those kind of guys. And Garrett Cole, to me, was, I think, did not get enough credit for the season he had last year, which is ironic because the season he had last year was very impressive. And I feel like people, I don't know, maybe they just didn't buy into it, or maybe they just, you know, cared a little bit too much about some other deeper stats that really didn't matter. At the end of the day, 300 strikeouts, man.
All right, so Joe's 3 for 3. On first down, he had Marlon Mack 2 years ago. He told you he was great. On second down, he told you he has Darwin Thompson anywhere. He's going to be everywhere. He's going to be great. And on third down, he told you like Garrett Cole. So you're going to go 4 for 4 here on the know-it-all segment.
Yeah, that's great. That's fine.
Here we go. UFOs. You knew UFOs were real back from 2004, right? You told everybody that then, right?
I'm watching Ancient Aliens with that guy with the big hair right now as we do this show. It's there on it TV. And yeah, like how can you not believe that guy? That guy's got incredible hair. You know what I'm talking about, don't you?
I don't think I know.
You haven't seen this on the History Channel, that Ancient Alien show that's on like every night. I feel like when you flip around the channels at like 11 o'clock, and it's that.
I'm
guy
not really
with the
big on
hair.
TV. Not really. I'm a big like online watcher, like Netflix and YouTube and stuff like that. I'm not really.
I still flip around with those Ancient Aliens, you know, things where they go. Anyway, go ahead. What do you want to make fun of me about now?
In 3 Black Book, didn't you have UFOs being real and you told?
I did in the UFO Black Book 2012.
You told everybody, but they didn't believe it.
I did.
Here you are today saying you knew that they were real in 2004, right?
I take myself to task on what I get wrong. Let's not pretend like I know.
Holy cow.
How about the time where I said it's not like Dallas Keuchel is ever going to win a Cy Young or anything in the Black Book, and the next year he won the Cy Young?
Yeah.
Or that year, I should say. So, I gotta
come up with something that you didn't know about before here. So I threw
I could come up with them all day. But, Craig, do you think I'd be sitting in this position if I was wrong 80% of the time? I better not be. What kind of person would I be at my job? Would you want your doctor to be wrong 90% of the time?
No, but I mean every single thing here. First down, second down, third down.
Happened to pick the three things. What do you want from me? You picked three things. Right. You know how I felt about Darwin Thompson. You knew what this was. When you put that on there, you do.
Oh, I know. But I'm saying they had Marlon Mack 2 years ago. Has nothing to
do. What about this UFO thing? What is it you want to talk about here?
We're almost out of time. We got to do it quick. UFOs are the real deal from 2004. People said they weren't real, but they are.
Okay, awesome.
That's pretty much it.
I mean, do we really think we're the only life in this entire universe? I don't, but do you?
I don't know, but this is
kind of narcissistic, isn't it?
It was a very convincing video that I saw. I remember seeing this last year, and then
I haven't seen this.
You'll have to check it out and tell me. We'll check.
I was too busy being right about everything.
I know. Seriously, come up with anything today. All right, here's what we'll do. We'll take a quick time out here on the show. We'll see if we can stump Joe on something today. We'll re-rank running backs in fantasy football. You're listening to Fantasy Sports Today. Craig Mish along with Joe Pizzapia. Don't go away.
Do you want 2 risk-free wagers up to $1,000? If so, go to pointsbet.com/grid. Open yourself up a PointsBet sports wagering account. Enter the promo code GRID, and you'll get 2 risk-free bets of up to $1,000. In addition to traditional betting, PointsBet also offers its own betting concept, where customers, they're rewarded by how much they win their bet. That's pointsbet.com/grid. Enter the promo code GRID and get your 2 risk-free bets of up to $1,000 today.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 and over. New Jersey only. Eligibility restrictions apply. See website for details.
Put your money where your mouth is and take a shot by opening a sports wagering account with FanDuel, New Jersey's largest sportsbook. Go to FanDuel.com/grid, where you'll receive a free bet of up to $500. That's a free bet of up to $500 when you open a sports wagering account at FanDuel.com/grid. Point spreads, game totals, props, parlays, and in-game wagering on college and pro sports, and you're in control. Go to FanDuel.com/grid, open your new account, and claim your free wager of up to $500 today.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 and over. New Jersey only. Eligibility restrictions apply. See website for details.
Get in the game with DraftKings Sportsbook, where listeners of this network can get a risk-free bet up to $500. Here's how it works. First, create a DraftKings Sportsbook account, then make a deposit and place your first bet, and DraftKings will match it up to $500. Just go to sportsgrid.com/DK to play. That's sportsgrid.com/DK. Act quickly. This offer won't be around forever. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 and over, New Jersey only. Eligibility restrictions apply. See website for details.
Let DailyRoto.com guide you to victory as you swing for the fences playing daily fantasy baseball. Become the 8th Daily Roto lineup optimizer to win $1 million in a FanDuel or DraftKings tournament, or become part of the growing community who have won thousands of dollars. If you're playing MLB DFS and not using DailyRoto.com, you're doing it wrong. Enter promo code FNTSY for a 10% discount. The 2019 MLB Daily Roto Premium Package at DailyRoto.com. Use the promo code FNTSY and get your 10% discount today.
Lose weight now. Go to Fat100.com. Lose that unwanted belly fat today and get free information at Fat100.com. Fit in the dress or pants or bathing suits you've always wanted to. Go to Fat100.com. Lose 10, 20, or more pounds immediately. Go to Fat100.com for free information on how you can lose weight. Go to fat100.com. fat100.com. That's fat100.com.
Are you single? Everyone single is looking for the best date possible. Well, I found one website that can find you the best date, and it's called thebestdate100.com. Just go there and log in for your free trial and see if you can find your new and maybe last best date. Remember, you can find the best date of your life at thebestdate100.com. That's thebestdate100.com. One more time, thebestdate100.com.
Fantasy Sports Today with Craig Mish and Joe Pisapia.
All right, welcome back. Fantasy Sports Today. It is Craig Mish along with Joe Pisapia. You can follow me on Twitter at Craig Mish. You can follow Joe on Twitter at JoePisapia17. We've got gambling. We've got football. A lot going on. And of course, this weekend, make sure you head on over to the FanDuel Sportsbook over at the Meadowlands, where Joe will be broadcasting this weekend, getting you ready for the NFL games. Our producer, Sean Guastamacchi, has got some college football analysis. Maybe he'll actually pick an underdog this week, try to convince him of that at some point this year. Hopefully that'll be tomorrow. And we also have Jamie Eisenberg coming up on the show tomorrow, as well as Brad Ziegler. So we got a big weekend prepared for you. Now, yesterday we had an exercise in futility, because trying to re-rank running backs after we're missing a half a dozen of the ones that you would start in fantasy this year is really tough. But I think that the exercise went pretty well to give people an idea what we think of these players the rest of the season. Now, as it pertains to running back, I think it's a little bit easier because some of the same guys are still near the top. But Joe, the reality of the situation is because of the quarterbacks being hurt, I'm wondering if it affects your thinking from where you had your rankings in the Black Book back in June or July, as opposed to now. So, selling running backs for 70 cents on the dollar at this stage, and that would include a guy like McCaffrey at this point, I think it's foolish. But there are some players that I think that fall into your lap because of these situations that could be sitting out there on the waiver wire. And every year, Joe, at the end of the season, there's someone that's drafted in the fifth round, the eighth round, the 10th that ends up grading out as an RB1. So let's kind of walk through the process here as to how you have them ranked the rest of the way.
Well, I think you pointed out very astutely that the fluidity of the situations with quarterback now have great impact on the running backs. And that's why in the Black Book, too, when it comes out in June, I always make sure to do an update August 1st. So when you buy it August 1st, you're buying the most updated version of it. And then all the cheat sheets are updated basically every 2 weeks. When people purchase the cheat sheets, they get updated and resent out to everybody. So that they can have whatever they're like, if they're drafting this week, this is where we're at. And then next week, okay, maybe we have to adjust because this guy's out or they lost the left tackle for the year or something like that. And I think this right now, the top five guys, I mean, I still would put Saquon, Zeke, and CMC in the top three. I think that's kind of, I wouldn't grade them out any differently at this point. You can argue where you'd want the three of them if you want to do that. Do you have any preference of that order?
I would, at this point, I would go, okay, so you have Barkley, Ezekiel Elliott, Christian McCaffrey, 1, 2, 3. Is that
accurate? I've put CMC 3 because of where we're at potentially with the Cam Newton situation. Yeah.
Okay, so I'll go, my top three would be Barkley 1, Dalvin Cook 2, Ezekiel Elliott 3, Christian McCaffrey 4. That's
interesting. So you're already willing after two games,
yes,
to put Cook all the way up to 2.
Yes. Yes. In fact, I would have him. I probably almost would have him at 1.
Okay. Now, do you think that that's a little bit of a hot take considering?
No, I've watched every single carry that he's had. He looks like the best running back in football to me.
Oh, so. he absolutely does. He looks spectacular.
Now, he could get hurt and that could change the equation, but based on seeing those two games, listen, you know me. I don't throw things out there to stick. At the end of the season that Dalvin Cook will grade out as a top three fantasy running back and has a chance to be number one overall.
Yeah, I definitely think he has a chance to do that. My concern of putting him over Ezekiel Elliott is I have two concerns with this. Number one, how good Saquon could be in the passing game as things kind of evolve here in this offense. I'm fascinated to see. I don't think Daniel Jones is going to come in and be Andrew Luck. I don't want people to, misrepresent that. But I do think that there's opportunity at the very least for this offense to get better quickly. And with Ezekiel Elliott, same thing. I'm looking at the Cowboys and looking at the volume. I'm looking at where he's at and how good that team I think is. Mm-hmm. And that's why it's kind of hard for Cook to bump the three. I'm saying like right now it's week 3. I'm saying the rest of the year where I would want to take them. I would still take those guys over Cook,
But Cook and CMC for me is super close right now, which is crazy to think about. But I think that's where we are. Now, number five, I still put Kamara in there. I think the talent is too much. And I actually think they're going to have to rely on him possibly a little bit more, potentially. Do you think that's a safe number five? Because I think this is the five no matter what, right? You can argue about what the order is, but this is the five, right?
This is an interesting one for me. I have to say that what happens is because I'm in some very, very big financial, I have some very big financial commitments to these betting contests. I usually spend a lot of Wednesday looking at lines and looking at games and doing research. And I have to say that I think that I may have misfired on my opinion of Teddy Bridgewater, because a lot of people who are smarter than me have been pointing out some really big discrepancies for him in the game last week, in the game that he started last year when the game was meaningless for both teams and he put up a complete dud. There are some practice reports apparently that say that he doesn't look like the same guy. I may have misfired on my judgment with that from a couple of days ago. And I think for one of the few times this season, I'm going to have to say that I got to walk back a little bit my take on.
So yesterday when I said I like Mason Rudolph and Daniel Jones's pickups more than Bridgewater and you said I was crazy. I'm not one of those people, right?
I may have to walk that one back. I'm not fully off of it, but I think I jumped the gun a little bit not doing enough research on that. So
I guess here's the question. Now
I'm going to downgrade Kamara. Yeah, I'm going to downgrade.
Okay, so you're going to downgrade Kamara. So who is your number five going to be? Because if we're talking about volume with limited upside, it's probably Bell. If we're talking, you know, now that this is that next group there, and then here we go. And this is why people kept, you know, asking, what do you do after the first, you know, four guys are kind of gone in that draft? I kept saying it's really smart to just take Hopkins and or somebody like that and just plug that guy in, because all of these guys you can start to make cases for, and some of them might flip around to the second round. And Aaron Jones flipped to the second round. Marlon Mack flipped to the second round. All those guys did. So it's Bell based on volume, but with limited upside now for the next couple of weeks with the quarterback. And who knows how he's going to be when he comes back. It's Aaron Jones. It's David Johnson with a good game, then a not so good game and a wrist injury. So I'll tell you what, for me, I'm still going to stick with Le'Veon Bell in the volume and just hope for the best. That's where I would go with number six.
I would put Eckler above all of them. What I would do.
Okay. I guess that's the next question, because statistically speaking, Eckler is the number one guy on the board in PPR.
I would have to put him in the top five. Yeah.
He's the guy right now. So if you have him, you're loving life. And
he looks great. And also, and again, not watching the game as closely as I should. And yesterday going back and doing, you know, that's what I do on Wednesdays. I do more research. I was unaware that Eckler had two different carries separate from the game that he had last week called back for touchdowns. He had one holding call returned for a touchdown. And then he had another one on first and goal that, in going back and watching, he reached over the goal line to try and score, and and it was a touchback. So if you just give him one of those two, it even jumps his numbers astronomically. I think that Eckler, Joe, at the end of the year, at least for now, without Melvin Gordon, is going to have a Melvin Gordon season. So I have to give a big bump to Eckler at this point.
So you want to put Eckler at five or six?
Yes, five. Yep.
Okay. I'll tell you what. I'll tell you what. I will agree with you. And I will say that I kept saying in my mind, don't expect Melvin Gordon to play this year. So if I believe that, then why wouldn't I buy into Eckler at this point?
Right. Well, he's going to come back, but by the time he comes back, Eckler will have carried you.
Who's to say he's going to come back for them? That's the other thing. Who's to say he comes back as a Charger?
Well, I think he has to play to get that service.
He has to play for somebody, but not for them.
Yeah, but who's going to trade a high pick in week 10? Isn't it, the deadline will be gone by then anyway?
The Chiefs, if things keep going bad in the running back situation. I mean, a team that's a Super Bowl team that
I think
has
Gordon
a
plays
catastrophic
for them.
Issue.
I think Gordon plays for them. He comes back. He's a non-entity.
If Gordon plays for them, I think that drops him down to double digits on this.
Oh, yeah. No doubt about that. But
I'm saying right now, like even in the ranking right now, I think you
get me to the playoffs, I'll worry about that later. I mean, week 10,
you're going to go pick up Kareem Hunt. That's right.
You get me to 8-2. I mean, Mostert's going to be the number one running back in fantasy by the time week 10 comes. I'm not worried about week 10. Give me now. Yeah. That's what I'm worried about.
Yeah. All right.
I think Carson, you know, because of one bad week, has fallen too low. I still like him a lot. I put him in the conversation as a
top 10. Let's go through here. If let's say you've got Cook at 2, I've got him at 4. Then you've got Eckler at 5, which I'll agree with. Kamara at 6. I'm still going to hold Le'Veon Bell at 7. I still will.
He'll be fine. He'll be fine.
Okay, so number 8.
Quarterback will be back. Yeah.
I think Aaron Jones is that next guy for me. Now, I hate the Matt LaFleur news yesterday. Oh, God, did I hate that whole, like, we're going to get Jamal Williams equal touches. No. I
don't believe what you hear.
I think that's all coach speak. And if he does it, then it's going to have Deion Lewis written all over. It's going to be a whole disaster.
He'll be fine.
I agree.
I'll be completely wrong on Aaron Jones. I have nowhere. I didn't like him, and he's going to be good. So there you
okay,
go.
Okay, Aaron Jones, number 8. Now, I think people have gone way too much to the negative side on Nick Chubb already, too.
Yep, I would agree. Put him in there.
So would you want Chubb, Johnson, or Mack here?
I would put Carson still in the top 10 with Chubb somehow, 9-10. And then, right. 11 or 12 would be Mack.
I will compromise with you. Let's do Chubb at 9. Let's do Carson at 10. Now, 11, 12. Mack at 11? Is that what we're talking about?
Uh-huh. Yeah. And I keep putting Derrick Henry there because he keeps playing well.
Well,
I
mean, that if you
I don't know how to
there.
Eliminate him. Happy.
Well, I guess here's the thing. I don't think
every
you can.
Week. Yeah.
Okay. We did a fun segment on the Black Book show, which is hot takes, you know, predictions and stuff like that. And mine was Derrick Henry leading the league in rushing, not being the best running back in
very
football,
possible.
Not being the highest point getter in fantasy, but leading the league in rushing, I thought was a realistic
of course
buy-in and maybe a bit of a bold prediction in some sense because of some of the other guys.
They finally learned from the mistakes that they had last
year.
The mistakes that they had last year
was Matt LaFleur, and that's what I'm just terrified of. So that means that David Johnson's bumped out if we put Henry
at
12.
Yeah, I'm not impressed at all with what I've seen from him. That's very sad to say. But
can Kerryon Johnson get there now? Can he start to break this
running back
in the next couple weeks?
Still a running back, too. Sony Michel's got to be in the running back two conversation too. Seems like they're really making more of an effort to get him the ball.
So you have Carson a bit higher. I would put Carson around like 13, and I would put David Johnson in this 12 right now for one more week, hoping that last week's productivity happened to be a bit of the wrist issue. And if that was what it was and he's okay and he gets back to looking more like he did in the first week, then I think we all take a sigh of relief and we're okay with it.
Yeah. I think Carson will be amazing the rest of the year. I'm not worried about him at all. Gurley's in the conversation for RB2.
Gurley's right there. Yep.
Yeah, he's RB2. And I think we could stop there. Okay. So there you go. There's our re-ranking of the running backs. Barkley, Zeke, McCaffrey, Cook, Eckler, Kamara, Bell, Jones, Chubb, Carson, Mack, Henry. And then right outside that, we've got David Johnson, Todd Gurley, maybe Sony Michel as well. We'll be right back after this. Don't go away.
Maid Sailors is the leading cleaning service in New York City and Boston. We service homes, offices, corporate apartments, and Airbnb turnarounds. Give us a call or a text at 212-299-5170 to book now. That's 212-299-5170. Use the promo code FNTSY for 15% off your first cleaning. For more information, go to maidsailors.com. That's maidsailors.com.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-292-8137 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-292-8137 for your free author submission kit. Again, that's 800-292-8137.
With ThermoSpa's unique built-in thermofiltration system, you simply fill it with a garden hose and your water stays crystal clear with very little maintenance.
Right now, they're offering 0% APR financing with approved credit and a $1,250 savings coupon. Call ThermoSpa's today at 800-603-6422 for your free DVD videos and brochure. That's 800-603-6422. Call 800-603-6422 today to take advantage of 0% APR financing.
If you've heard of WeatherTech floor liners, you probably know that for your vehicle's floor, nothing protects better. But what about protection for the rest of your car or truck? I'm David McNeil, founder of WeatherTech. Besides our floor liners, we design, engineer, and manufacture a wide range of automotive accessories right here in America. And just like our floor liners, everything is done to the highest standards possible. We understand what kind of investment owning a vehicle can be. So we do everything possible to help you protect it. We don't take shortcuts, and we never make concessions when it comes to quality. For everything from cargo liners to cleaning and detailing supplies, to mud flaps and car covers, the one place you need to go is WeatherTech.com. So if you are familiar with our floor liners, just imagine how well the rest of our products will work for you. Learn more about our full line of automotive accessories at WeatherTech.com or call 1-800-CARMATS. WeatherTech.com, proudly made in America.
Full-time fantasy.
If you had Devin Singletary, assuming he was healthy and Mostert, who are you starting?
Singletary.
Right. So where's Mostert going to fall in? Probably somewhere around 30?
Yeah, 25 to 35 range, probably.
Right. So, I mean, that's not a must start every week. I think the only must start is Breida. And after that, you're hoping that most those other guys don't kill you.
Weekdays, 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on the Fantasy Sports Network and on your popular podcast providers. Fantasy Sports Today with Craig Mish and Joe Pisapia.
All right, here we go. We're back here on Fantasy Sports Today as we get ready to wrap up hour number one with a look ahead to college football week four. We bring in the gridiron scholar, John Lobb. You can catch his rankings over at Fantrax, and certainly he and I are competing with a lot of other folks in our best ball college football league. And good thing I didn't take Felipe Franks in that league. John said, you're a Gator. You got to take him. I'm like, John, I'm going to take every other Gator. I'm just not going to take him. But, John, we could start off there, man. Like, Florida plays Tennessee this week. And I know this may not be, I don't know, maybe it is a fantasy option for you. But what about this kid Trask with zero track record, almost no playing time whatsoever at the University of Florida and engineered a comeback last week for the ages? It always seems like the Gators have these crazy comebacks. He did last week against Kentucky. I don't know if you ended up seeing any of that game. Of course, I am a Gator, so I watched a lot of that, but I was impressed. I think he looks better than Franks.
You know, that's a great question because I actually looked him up a little bit. I believe he's a junior out of Texas.
Yeah.
6'5", like 235 pounds or something. Definitely looks the prototypical size. Now, the good news for him is I believe the Gators have enough playmakers on offense where all he needs to do is be efficient and get the football into their hands. Now, the schedule, you know, they have a tough schedule, and it's the SEC. You're talking about an inexperienced quarterback. Right now, he's on my watch list in my fantasy football league, but I've got to see him perform over four entire quarters. Now, Tennessee is a great matchup to get your feet wet. I think the Gators should definitely beat the Volunteers this weekend. I'm going to be watching him because he is the type of player, you know, college fantasy football, kids come out of nowhere. So we have to watch him closely this weekend.
All right. Well, John, last week on the show, you made a good pick and then you made a bad pick. You said that thought that you said Pitt would play very well against Penn State. You were right. And then you drank eight Red Bulls and said they would win the game outright. I mean, come on, man. Like you had it. You had it right there. You had it in your hands. And then you went berserko on us and said that was going to happen, too. So just stick with the covering. You don't need to have a team that's 20-point underdogs end up winning outright. It's not necessary to go there. You had it in the bag. I watched that game.
And, you know, they were fourth and one.
Oh.
Oh, my God, dude. They kicked the field goal, and not only that, he shanks it. Oh, my God, dude. I was so mad watching that.
Yeah, but you were on the right track there. Okay, so for the first time in 3 years, we didn't have top 25 teams playing last week, John. Now, this week, we got some good matchups, okay? Or at least we have some top 25 matchups. I think that's fair to say. Which are your favorite matchups this week in terms of college football? I think what's funny is, John, this is what I find interesting, is that the premier matchup, the most watched college football game of the season, is going to be Saturday night with Georgia and Notre Dame because the world loves Notre Dame, so they're going to watch them. And the world is looking at this line going, oh, my gosh, Notre Dame, we are getting 14 points with them. Do they not remember what happened at the end of last year when Notre Dame played in that playoff? This is like basically saying, I dare you to bet against Georgia. I don't know. I think Georgia probably rolls Notre Dame in this game.
You know, Craig, I'm on board with you. I do think Georgia's just too talented on the front seven on defense and in the offensive line. We know they're going to run the football. The Bulldogs blow up opponent's defense. Now, I like Notre Dame, and they're a pretty nice football team, but they're the 17th team in the country. Seventh team in the country. The Bulldogs are the third. I like the Bulldogs big time in this. I would love to be 13.5 instead of 14.5 because you could always get the backdoor cover by Notre Dame. But I do think the Bulldogs win this big game. But the game that I'm most interested in is Michigan-Wisconsin.
Yeah, Joe,
you've been asking me about prospects. This is the game to watch Jonathan Taylor, the running back of Wisconsin. Is he a second-round pick in the NFL draft? Michigan's tough up front, but we know that Badger offensive line is mean, nasty, well-coached. I think you're going to see Jonathan Taylor in a lot of one-on-ones. The Wolverines are going to scheme their linebackers and safeties, and they're going to challenge them to tackle Taylor one-on-one. Now, I'm interested to see how often is Taylor going to be able to beat that one-on-one, and how many tackles is he going to break? This is a great game to watch an NFL draft prospect.
Yeah, and the question is, I don't know that he's 100% healthy, John. That was the only thing I'm wondering about. You know, some of the practice reports this week said that he may be or may not be. I'm not sure. Oh, what about Chuba Hubbard, man? Another monster game last week, John.
Wow, this man is shooting up the charts. I think he had over 200 yards again, if my memory serves.
Yeah,
me.
He had 150 in the first quarter.
Yeah, he was unbelievable, and I got lucky enough to put him in my DFS lineup, and I have him on one season-long team. And it is very fascinating how the Cowboys have changed their entire offense. We know Mike Gundy has been throwing the football for over a decade, but now they have a studded running back. He has 66 attempts already. Spencer Sanders, their starting quarterback, has only thrown the ball 64 times. You got to ride Chuba Hubbard, everyone, and watch him. He is quickly moving up the charts of NFL prospect rankings.
Yeah, and we're talking to John Lobb, the Gridiron Scholar. You know, before we get back to college, let me go to the NFL here for a minute, John, because I know that you watched a lot of Mason Rudolph in college. I'll give you my opinion. I don't know. You tell me if I'm right or wrong. I thought that he was great in their system. I don't know. I can't say that he's going to be great in the NFL. I feel like folks may be a little too high on him without seeing him play. Maybe he'll go out there and he'll be great and I'll be proven wrong. But man, like, he played arguably for one of, would you say, the best mind or one of the best minds in all of college football with Gundy. And what kind of pro player is he going to be, you think, with Pittsburgh? I'm curious.
No, great question, because I actually went back to look at my scouting report on Mason Rudolph, and I actually picked him up in a dynasty league because I needed some help at the quarterback position.
I did too.
Now, he's clearly in college, he was a scheme quarterback. Gundy schemed his skill set perfectly. Also, the Cowboys have had lots of talent at the wide receiver position.
Yeah.
You know, but I looked at his career numbers, and I like certain thresholds, games played, touchdown to interception ratio, completion percentage. Over the course of his career, he hit my benchmarks in those numbers. So I believe if the Pittsburgh coaching staff has done their homework and they've had him in their system now, you know, he's a second-year player, I believe that they can give him opportunities to be successful. I'm not starting him this weekend in my dynasty league. Luckily, I have Aaron Rodgers. But I am going to watch him. I think he has potential to be a solid NFL quarterback, a ceiling of a Jimmy Garoppolo, if things went well and the Steelers scheme correctly for him. He'll never be an elite quarterback, in my opinion, but he could be an efficient starter in the NFL.
Yeah, I would retweet that right there. That's kind of the way I see it, too. And we'll see. You know, certainly this week we'll be the first step toward that. Okay, now let's dive into some DFS action for this week. John, give me some guys who are your stock up on this week, up and down.
So my DraftKings, I'm going to give you a dynamic duo on the afternoon slate. I'm really interested in this Louisville and Florida State game. Louisville is playing better than I thought after that disastrous 2-10 season under Bobby Petrino. Scott Satterfield came from Appalachian State, and he really has Louisville playing good football. Now, while the Florida State has not played well, they are putting points on the board for fantasy. So I'm going to set my lineup around quarterback James Blackman. He's only $6,500 on DraftKings. He's gone over 20 points in every game, and I love the over-under. Vegas is telling us that we have a very good game expected here with lots of points. And on the other side, I'm going to take Louisville wide receiver Chartavius Atwell. He's a redshirt sophomore. He's only $4,400, but he has scored 10, 14, and 39 points on DraftKings. So I like to start those two players, put my lineup around them on the afternoon slate, and then you can. There's lots of value, and there's also some studs, so you can build a good team around those two. And then if you're in season-long fantasy football, one player that I like this week a lot is Troy quarterback Caleb Barker. Last week, he ended up losing to Southern Mississippi, but this game was one for the ages. The two quarterbacks combined for over 1,000 yards passing. This week, he is going to travel to Akron.
They're going to crush that team, man. They're a 17-point favorite, I saw, right?
Yeah, they are 17-point favorite with a 55 over-under. Caleb Barker is only on 36% of Fantrax teams. I absolutely love him. And then if you need a sleeper, Colorado State is hosting Toledo. This is the second highest over-under on the board at 67. I love home underdogs in college fantasy football. Toledo's a 9-point favorite. They have a senior running back, Marvin Kinsey. He is the 11th-ranked running back in college fantasy football. He had a ACL injury his sophomore year, and it's taken him 2 years to recover. But as a senior, he's totally healthy, and he's a pass catcher. So he might have 8 receptions in this game if the Rams fall behind against the Rockets. So those are my two free agent waiver wire pickups this week and season long.
By the way, John, do you think Louisville goes into FSU and wins that game this week? And if so, do you think they fire Taggart?
You know, if they lose, I think they fire Taggart. But I do think Florida State will win that game. But
I don't know.
I mean, look, if they're bad, I agree with you. But look, and if that is, look, at Taggart will probably get fired. I mean, aren't they? They're 0-4 at that point, or are they 1-3?
Oh, they have one win against, what was it, Louisiana Monroe? They were up 21-0. They lost in overtime? Were they won in overtime?
You're right, a Sun Belt foe. 1-3 and staring down the barrel of a tough schedule in the ACC.
Yeah.
He might not make it home on or make it back on Monday morning.
Yeah, it's curious. Give me one quick pick for you before we let you go this week in college football. Give me one good one.
Sure. I love home underdogs. I'm taking the Kansas Jayhawks. Now, last week I got burned by West Virginia, but now they go on to the road, and Les Miles upset Boston College last week. Yeah, so I like the Jayhawks. They always are physical and nasty, and I think West Virginia is going to be a little cocky going on the road. I think you're getting 4.5, so I like that. You're getting more than a field goal. I like the Jayhawks to cover and win against West Virginia.
When was the last time, John, in the last 20 years that you said, I like Kansas to win and cover?
It's been at least 12 years.
Mark Mandino?
And Todd Reesing, like in 2007. So it's been a long time.
It really has, man. I mean, to think that Les Miles is doing great things, that's so exciting to me to see him doing great things with the Jayhawks. He's got that program, like, feeling like there's something there. It's rare when you get a coach like that. I can't believe Les Miles couldn't land a job anywhere else, but good for Kansas to be able to get him for sure. All right, John, give us a quick synopsis here in 30 seconds where they can find your work over at Fantrax this week.
Sure, just go to Fantrax.com, everyone. My CFF podcast, my CF on campus podcast is there with my two great teammates, Scott Bogman and Justin Heisley. That's available. And all of my waiver wire gemstones and my sleepers are available every week for free for everyone to read.
All right, John, thanks. Have a great week in college. We'll catch you again next Thursday, okay?
Excellent. Have a great week, everyone. Enjoy the games.
All right, John Law, the Gridiron Scholar, will be back with the best of the first hour after this.
This is Michael David from Seattle. I'm 51 years old, and 6 months ago, I started taking Andro 400 to increase my testosterone. Since then, I've lost 35 pounds of fat, and my waist went from size 38 to size 32. I have more energy, and I look and feel 20 years younger. And now, my wife tells me I have to take Andro 400.
Hi, this is Ron Johnson from Utah. After 10 weeks of taking Andro 400, I lost 13 pounds, and my waist went from 36 to 33. That was 8 years ago. I continue to take Andro 400, and I've maintained my weight at 172. Gained muscle and energy. I'm 63 now and feel better than I have in 30 years.
Andro 400, the natural way to increase testosterone, lose belly fat, gain energy, and feel great. Try Andro 400, the safe, effective, affordable way to boost your testosterone. Go to andro400.com or call 888-400-0435. 888-400-0435.
Were you scammed into signing a timeshare contract? And did you miss the part that said you have to pay for your great idea? Not only for the rest of your life, but when you're not here anymore, you get to pass this turkey onto your family for them to pay for the rest of their lives. Thanks, Dad. Don't burden your family down the road, and don't be stuck with expensive timeshare payments forever. Get out of your bad idea timeshare contract guaranteed or pay nothing. Call Resort Release today and learn for free how their timeshare exit team can help you legally exit your timeshare contract. They've helped thousands of people, and they're A-plus rated with a BBB. So if you feel scammed, get mad, and get out of your expensive timeshare contract right now, guaranteed. Call N-O-W.
800-804-7060. 800-804-7060. 800-804-7060. That's 800-804-7060.
What's your IRS problem? Do you owe back taxes? Is there a lien placed on your property? Have your bank accounts been frozen or seized? Have your wages been garnished? Are you being audited by the IRS? Are they sending you letters that demand actions and have urgent due dates? Well, solving your tax problems is as easy as calling Taxes 321. The IRS is the largest collection agency in the world. You need the best representation to give you peace of mind. You need experienced professionals that can cut through the red tape and stop the collection process. If you have a serious problem with the IRS, call the Taxes 321 Network today. We'll get them off your back.
800-961-3631, 800-961-3631, 800-961-3631, 800-961-3631.
Fantasy Sports Today with Craig Mish and Joe Pisapia.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. As we wrap up the first hour of the show, here's what you missed. UFOs. You knew UFOs were real back from 2004, right? You told everybody that then, right?
I'm watching Ancient Aliens with that guy with the big hair right now as we do this show. It's there on it TV. Is. And yeah, like, you're how can you not believe that guy? That guy's got incredible hair. You know what I'm talking about, don't you?
I don't think I know.
You haven't seen this on the History Channel, that Ancient Alien show that's on like every night. I feel like when you flip around the channels at like 11 o'clock, and it's that.
I'm
guy
not really
with the
big on
hair.
TV. Not really. I'm a big like online watcher, like Netflix and YouTube and stuff like that. I'm not really.
I still flip around with those Ancient Aliens, you know, things where they go. Anyway, go ahead. What do you want to make fun of me about now?
In three Black Book, didn't you have UFOs being real? And you told
I
everybody
did in the UFO Black Book 2012.
You told everybody, but they didn't believe it.
I did.
Here you are today saying you knew that they were real in 2004, right?
I take myself to task on what I get wrong. Let's not pretend like I know.
Holy cow.
How about the time where I said it's not like Dallas Keuchel is ever going to win a Cy Young or anything in the Black Book, and the next year he won the Cy Young?
Yeah.
Or that year, I should say. So, I got to come up with
something that you didn't know about before here. So I threw the UFO.
I could come up with them all day. But Craig, do you think I'd be sitting in this position if I was wrong 80% of the time? I better not be. What kind of person would I be at my job? Would you want your doctor to be wrong 90% of the time?
No, but I mean, every single thing here. First down, second down, third down.
Happened to pick the three things. What do you want from me? You picked three things. Right. You know how I felt about Darwin Thompson. You knew what this was.